Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 294, Come Down, O Love Divine.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of morning prayer. We welcome to all those who are joining us online. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about how we hear and receive the Word of God into our lives. It has been a very sad week in the life of our church, with four funerals taking place since the end of last week to the end of this week. And just wanted at this point to say a very big word of thanks to people for all of their support to the families who've been directly affected. People are very appreciative of the kind messages they've received. I want to say thank you in particular to our choir and our organist and to our catering teams, and to all who have done a lot of things behind the scenes to make the worst of times more bearable for people and for showing their support to people. Their presence means so much. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody this morning. Andy is away to preach at St. John's Orangefield this morning. But I just wanted to mention some notices for the week that is to come. This evening, our worship continues at 7 o'clock. With the service of evening prayer. Tomorrow at 1:20, the funeral service of Mrs. Dora Coates takes place in Roselawn Crematorium. And also tomorrow, we've been invited over the summer months to share in some activities with the Church's Ministry of Healing, which is just directly opposite us on the carriageway at number 162 Upper Knockbreda Road. And they run a craft group every Monday from 10 to 12. And if anybody's interested in craft and would like to take part, they're very welcome tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Also on Tuesday morning, on twice a month, they celebrate Holy Communion. And we've been invited to share in their service at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning at 162 Upper Knockbreda Road. On Wednesday afternoon at 1:30, the funeral service of Mrs. Joan Gillespie takes place here in the church. And on Thursday evening, our parish prayers over Zoom are at 7. On Friday at 12:30, the funeral service of Mr. William Moore takes place here in church. Our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7.
The service of morning prayer, which begins on page 101 in the prayer book. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. The psalm appointed for this morning's service focuses on the theme of God's word, which is given to help us and to guide. Together we read Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112, and it can be found on page 738 of the prayer book. Your word is a lantern. Your word is a lantern to my feet and a light upon my path. I have sworn and will fulfill it to keep your righteous judgments. I am troubled above measure. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My soul is ever in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your commandments. Your testimonies have I claimed as my heritage forever, for they are the very joy of my heart. I have applied my heart to fulfill your statutes, always, even to the end. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Here ends our first reading.
Our next hymn speaks to us about God's provision and our response. We stand to sing hymn number 43, "Holy is the Seed Time."
Thank you.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 13th chapter, beginning at the first verse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When troubles or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Here ends our reading.
We stand now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for today, the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn prepares us to receive God's word. It's hymn number 385, Rise and Hear, the Lord is speaking.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I was given this terrific book earlier this year that I absolutely love dipping into. It's the sort of book that you read a bit and then you put it aside and then you return to it. And it's all about the history of the radio program Desert Island Discs, which celebrated its 80th anniversary last year. And if you're not familiar with the formula of Desert Island Discs, each week a guest comes on the program to choose the 8 discs that they would take away to a desert island. And they use the music as a means of telling their life story. And this particular book, which is a history of the program, features 80 of the guests that have appeared on the program over the years. And it tells a little bit about their story. It outlines the discs that they chose, as well as the book and luxury item that they would take away, along with the Bible and the complete works of Shakespeare, which they are given. And for me, because each sort of chapter is only a few pages long, it's fascinating to be able to dip in and to hear what drives people to succeed in the world of entertainment, sport, politics, music, and academia. Other people's stories are fascinating to us. And when we think of stories, Jesus had a way of telling stories that was very compelling. And Jesus was able to use these stories to open people's eyes to bigger truths. But the way in for Jesus was always to connect into objects that were familiar from people's everyday experience. And it's interesting that as we hear the story Jesus tells today in our gospel reading, Jesus tells this story from a boat just out from the seashore. At the beginning of his ministry, we find Jesus teaching in the synagogues, but now at this point, he's forced out into a boat. And it's not that the doors of the synagogue were shut to him, but they are closing. And even now at this point in Matthew's gospel, he would find a welcome from the common people, but the official leaders of Jewish orthodoxy, the scribes and the Pharisees, were now in opposition to him. So he wasn't welcome to teach in the synagogue. And Jesus' stories were stories all about a new world order, the kingdom of God. And that's a theme that we're going to be exploring over this coming year in church. But Jesus wanted to compel people to see how different the world could be whenever people made it a priority to live from God's values rather than be driven by their own selfish desires. And so as Jesus teaches from the boat, this very familiar story to many of us who've probably heard it many times over the years, we can visualize him looking over from the boat to the shore and maybe pointing out a farmer sowing his seed, a familiar sight in an agricultural society. And Jesus goes on to tell this story, and he really invites all of us who are listening to enter into it. As it is a familiar story, if we were to boil it down to its key elements, it's about warning people that there are different ways of accepting the Word of God. And the fruit which the Word of God produces within us depends primarily on the heart of the person who hears it. And as Jesus describes those different kinds of soil, from the seed that fell along the path, to the stony soil, to the soil which is overgrown with briars and thorns, to the good soil, which produces a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown, there is a sense in which, as we hear this story, we're inclined to ask ourselves the question, what sort of soil, what sort of listener am I when it comes to the Word of God? Am I someone who hears the Word of God with a closed mind? Am I someone who is determined that in hearing the Word of God, it will not impact in any way upon the way that I live my life? There are some people into whose minds the Word has no more chance of gaining an entry than the seed has of growing if birds were to peck it from the path. Or am I someone perhaps who hears the Word of God with a mind that is like shallow ground? As human beings, we have the capacity to reason. And it's important for all of us to have an intelligent faith. Christianity is a faith that has its demands, and these demands must be faced, they must be understood before we can accept the faith into our own lives and embrace it. And the sudden enthusiasm with which we embrace the Christian faith can very quickly become a dying fire. Or am I possibly a hearer of the Word of God who has so many interests in my life that certain things, and often they are the most important things, get crowded out? We can become too busy to pray. We can become so preoccupied with the important things of our daily life that we forget to study the Word of God. We can become so involved in committees and good works that we have left ourselves no time for Him from whom all love and service comes. And the hearers that seem to be applauded in this story are those who listen, who understand, and who obey. And it takes a lot of faith and indeed a lot of moral courage to be such a person. And often as we hear a story like this one, which is familiar to us, it perhaps stirs our souls to want to improve or to change things in our own lives so that we somehow become better soil, and that if this story were ever to be told just about us, it would have a happier ending with all of the soil falling on rich, fertile soil, all of the seeds falling on rich and fertile soil. But in the Bible, which I read from this morning, above the passage that we heard, the story is called the parable of the sower and not the parable of the soil. And so maybe, if the truth be told, the story is not so much about us as it is about the sower. It may not be all about our successes and failures and rocks and thorns, but it might actually be much more about the extravagance of the sower, who doesn't seem to be preoccupied with such concerns, but he flings seed everywhere, throwing it out there with joyful and holy abandon, confident that there is enough seed to go around. And if we are to take anything away this morning from this very familiar parable of Jesus, I think it is a call to all of us to live intentionally missional lives. When we have received ourselves something of Jesus' love and his hope into our lives, it's all about sharing what we have discovered, what we have received, with others. And perhaps the greatest encouragement and simultaneously the biggest challenge in the future life of the church is that everyone who worships here would have the same approach to sowing seeds for God as the sower in the parable. Sometimes, if I'm to be totally honest, it feels like the scariest thing in the world to dare to go out there and to confess to having a Christian belief and to attempt to share that belief with others in a skeptical world. Because so often we feel weak and inadequate, we get embarrassed talking about our faith, And to be honest, in many ways, we sometimes feel that we have done more harm than good when we open our mouths to speak about our faith. But what this parable reminds us is that when anyone sows the seed, they cannot and they must not look for quick or immediate results. It may actually take a long, long time before the seed germinates in the heart of a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that you have shared that seed with. And in the sowing of seed, whether you do it in your home, in your school, in your workplace, in the cafes or pubs that you might frequent, or the sports club or gym that you might go to, we must sow in patience and sow in hope. And under God, we leave the harvest to His timing. But the important thing is that whoever we are, we quietly get on with the sowing whenever the opportunities arise. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning for all who sow the seeds of faith through their life and work, through the words that they speak, through the ways that they interact with others and the world around them. We thank you this morning for all those who sowed those important seeds of faith in our lives over the years. Parents and grandparents, teachers, youth leaders, clergy, friends, neighbors and colleagues. And we ask that you would help each one of us in our own small way to sow the seeds of faith in our daily lives, in the small things and in the big things. Help us to show that you are an important part of our lives. Help us to make time to read your word, to pray, to serve, and to have the courage to speak with others about your goodness if that opportunity arises. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray this morning for countries around the world that are dealing with excessively high temperatures at the present time. We pray for parts of the world that are dealing with severe weather events. We pray especially for those who've been bereaved and injured in flooding in South Korea over the past day. And we pray for parts of the United States and Europe and Japan who are dealing with extremely high temperatures. We remember especially those who are most vulnerable in these conditions, the elderly, those who work outdoors. We pray for those who work in the fire and rescue service and all involved in agriculture. We ask for wisdom and for good advice, and we pray for people's protection and safety in these challenging conditions around the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And in a season of rising costs and financial challenges, we pray this morning for the work of food banks that are run by community groups and churches throughout this land to support those struggling to feed their families. We pray especially for all who feel ashamed to go and seek help from food banks. And we ask that you would come alongside all who are struggling. And we pray for wisdom and for resources for the staff and volunteers who are running food banks right across the land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we want to pray this morning for all who mourn. We pray particularly for families from our parish who are preparing for the funerals of loved ones this week. We remember the family of Dora Coates, the family of Joan Gillespie, and the family of William Moore. And Lord, we ask that you would surround all these families with your strength and your comfort as they come to terms with their sad loss. We pray that your presence would be near and that your people would surround them with your care and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We respond to all that we have heard by singing hymn number 636, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour.
Thank you to everybody for joining us in our worship this morning, and we're going to just bow our heads as we seek God's blessing in our lives as we go out into the week that is to come. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn is a hymn that invites us to go and to share the word and the love of God. Hymn 478, Go Forth and Tell.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of